I think it's hard to eat healthy on a budget.
Food is just extremely expensive.
You know, if I had a dollar for everyone who said to me it costs a lot of money to eat healthy, I would be wealthy. This is Spot On, a health and wellness podcast for college students, soon to be college students, or anyone that knows a college student. Spot On breaks through the latest health and wellness information hijacked from media headlines to provide you with accurate and usable information that is, well, spot on to meet your needs. I am your host, Dr. Joan Salgi-Blake. I am a nutrition professor at Boston University and the author of the college textbook called Nutrition in You, which is used in colleges across the United States and abroad. Can you really eat healthy on the cheap? Let's go to the streets and see what people have to say.
I think it is very expensive.
Yeah, I'd say healthy food is much more expensive.
Food that tends to be worse for you is actually usually a lot less expensive than food that is better for you.
Healthy food is so much more expensive than unhealthy food.
Because it's not the norm, so I feel like they just up their prices a little more.
So I'm always on a rush, and I tend to go just to the dining hall and grab whatever is there and just leave, and it's usually dessert.
Like going to Whole Foods and getting organic food is so much more expensive than getting chips from Star Market.
I don't know what I'm doing.
It's like a fruit bowl at Wegmans is like $7, and it's like mad small. It comes with like 5 fruit. But I can go get a bag of chips for $2.
Personally, I don't think it's too hard to eat healthy on a budget. Places like Trader Joe's and all are super cheap, and it's easy to find healthy things there.
I don't think eating healthy is expensive if you know what's good for your body, where to get it, and learn about healthy alternatives at bargain prices.
I'm so pleased today to have as my guest here Claire Murphy. She has a master's degree in nutrition, and she's a registered dietitian nutritionist at the Sargent Choice Nutrition Center here at Sargent College at Boston University. So she is a pro on this topic. So I'm so excited because she's going to share all her tips and strategies how to save a buck or two, so that you're not spending a lot of your discretionary income on healthy food. So Claire, welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Good, super duper. So tell me about this. What is your opinion? Can you eat healthy on a tight budget? What's the story with this?
Yeah, well, Joan, I think if it were effortless, everyone would do it.
Okay, that's realistic, right?
Yeah, but the reality is the food environment that we live in is constantly just kind of bombarding us with, you know, advertisements, yeah. Marketing kind of information, and it kind of makes us feel as though we have to eat in a certain way or buy certain things to have a healthy diet. But really, there's no one way to have a healthy diet. So,
you know, that's very interesting because there are people who make their livelihood as marketers. I mean, so when you, and actually we have them on the university. We put out people who go into advertising and marketing, and they're really good at it.
Right.
So I can see what you're saying, that they could have an advertisement, and you think you have to buy a certain product. That's interesting.
Right, and it's kind of, as an informed consumer, just kind of knowing that all products contribute to a healthy diet, and being educated on what you're purchasing, and making sure that you're purchasing things that are within your budget and in quantities that won't contribute to food waste.
Right, food waste. Oh, we're going to get to that, because
sure.
Food waste is a biggie with me. I can't stand food waste, and we'll get to that later on, because that is a waste of money. That's a waste of money. But people always say, you know, oh, I can't eat, you know, berries, or because they're too expensive, you know. Yet they'll go off and they will do, you know, a power bar or a snack bar that's like 4 times the price of it. And so it's funny what they value. You know, I have a big nutrition class here at the university, and my first class, I do this because I can't stand this myth that it costs a lot of money to eat healthy. And I have a shopping bag, and it's a brown shopping bag, and it says, a sad face that could be better. And then I have another brown shopping bag next to me that says healthy foods, okay? So what I do is I call two students up in front of the class, and they both have the shopping bag, and I give them 10 singles, all right? So both had $10 each, and I make them go shopping in front of the class. So I say, okay, all right, healthy, you know, shopper, pull something out, and they pull out a can of tuna fish, right? I said, okay, what's the price? $1, and I take $1 from her. All right, could be better. Pull out something. Oh, they bring the gourmet ice cream. That's $4. All right, give me $4. And I do this back and forth. And what happens is after three rounds, the healthy shopper, we have for 10 bucks, we have, you know, tuna fish. We have ground turkey. We have frozen vegetables. We have pasta. We have cans of beans. And the not so good, I got the ice cream. I've got cookies. And I got gourmet chocolate. Boom. And I say to this visually, you see, look at this. Is it cost a lot to eat healthy? And, you know, is that really a myth? And like you said, is do you need the gourmet ice cream? Do you need, you know, Claire, that marketing that says you need to eat that product?
Right, sure. So kind of, you know, using our dollars towards foods that provide us, you know, adequate nutrition and health-promoting items that will kind of get us closer to our nutrition needs, and then also, you know, of course, splurging every once in a while our dollars on those more
absolutely products. I'm a splurger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me, like, what kind of, you know, should students do before they go food shopping? Like, what some to save some money at the supermarket because they want to buy healthy foods?
Sure. So planning ahead is a big one. Okay. I think a lot of times, you know, if we go to the grocery store hungry, we don't really have a plan. We might be more inclined to buy things that aren't necessarily within either our budget or, you know, the foods that will help us to reach our nutrition needs. So making a grocery list is a great way before you go to the store and really sticking to it. That can help to avoid impulse buys and help reduce our food waste.
Right, because you don't want to overbuy. You know, Claire, I love to shop. I mean, I'm from New Jersey, and I can calculate 20% off before I can speak English. I mean, I'm a shopper from way back. So I love to go shopping, and I am a victim of what you just said. You have to make a list and stay and kick to it. Otherwise, I'm walking around the store, and they're putting certain things, especially at the end caps of the grocery aisle, that are these impulsive buys. And I can remember going shopping. I'm look at these cute dog toys. Who can I buy these for? I don't even have a dog. But you know what I mean? And so like you are really, they set up that supermarket for you to, I'll get those bag of chips. Right. Oh, I never saw these crackers. Let me try these crackers. And before you know it, you're spending a lot of money and not on things that are more healthy. When you go food shopping, what are some healthy foods that should be on your list?
Yeah, I mean, I think that varies person to person. You know, we all have different preferences and foods that we like. So I think, especially kind of thinking about budgetary concerns, we want to be buying foods that we like. Mm. Things like whole grains are really great. Fruits and vegetables, you can buy them fresh or frozen. We can do, you know, some protein sources. So meats or fish or, you know, beans, things like that. Even peanut butters and nut butters, things like that.
Which are very inexpensive.
Yes.
Compared to some of these gourmet type foods that you think you need.
Sure.
Like you need a certain power drinks or something, which you really don't need. And when you look at the price comparison, you know, you're saying to yourself, you know, wow, you know, these berries maybe not be that expensive, especially if they're frozen. What about, you know, they have apps, the stores have apps or that you can plan your shopping list. Have you seen these?
Yeah, definitely. Nowadays with smartphones, it's super easy to be able to make a list on your phone. You don't necessarily have to carry around a handwritten list. So there are some apps that you can, you know, either kind of document what you have in your kitchen and what you need to buy and cross it out as you go. You know, there's also grocery store apps for specific stores that you frequent. So you can download those and see if they're having any sales or anything like that and kind of plan your shopping list that way.
Right. You know, again, going back to marketers and advertisers, you know, that weekly circular, which used to come in the mail and now is just downloaded to your phone.
Right.
They, the, the front page is everything on sale, and mm-hmm. and they're, that's called loss leaders, where they actually lose money on this food. And that broccoli is like 99 cents a pound. They're losing money. They don't really, they could care less about you getting the broccoli. They want you to come for the broccoli, but they want to sell you everything else mm-hmm. that's on there. So really, to outsmart them, you could use that app, create that list, and use all the healthy foods that are on sale and stick to it. Sure. And don't buy those things, that impulsive types of buying.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the loyalty cards?
Yeah, so loyalty cards can be really great if you do frequent the store quite a bit. You know, usually they're free, so that's a plus. So you can just sign up and kind of rack up the points as you're shopping. You know, you want to be wary of any paid memberships or anything like that, and kind of weighing out the cost benefit if you're going to be shopping there enough to make it worth it.
Right.
But it's never going to hurt to ask if, sure. you know, the store that you frequent has a loyalty program or a loyalty card. And definitely, you know, some cost saving right. potential there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I use mine.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love is when I get that receipt at the end and it says that you saved $30.
Yeah.
I am like, whoa, I just won the lottery. I just saved $30.
Right.
Of course, then I go to TJ Maxx. So then I don't really saved anything. So you had said something very interesting about frozen foods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the old myth that I also want to get out to everybody. There's this myth that people say, and you'll see this in magazines all the time, oh, if you want to eat healthy, shop the periphery of the supermarket,
mm-hmm.
you know. And hello, the bakery is on the periphery of the supermarket. So, is you know, people think it just has to be fresh fruits and vegetables. But canned and frozen, tell us about those.
Yeah, sure. So, again, you know, kind of thinking, we often do think about canned and frozen produce as being lower quality or not as nutritionally adequate. But actually, canned and frozen produce is usually picked at the most peak freshness and peak ripeness. And then within just a few hours, it's either canned or frozen. However, it's going to be processed. And that's done because there's kind of that added layer of needing to preserve that quality of texture and taste and also nutrition.
Right.
So actually, the amount of protein, fat, carbohydrates, and, you know, fat-soluble vitamins and minerals are pretty much unchanged in frozen and canned products.
Well, then that's great. So mm-hmm. so seriously, so what we're doing is you're saying it's peaked at the, you know, prime. And we know the number one reason people eat is taste. So,
right.
so the berries are going to be great.
Right.
Then they're going to be frozen. So the nutrients will be frozen in there. But what I love about that is when you get the, you know, frozen berries, they're already cleaned
mm-hmm.
and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or like the frozen broccoli, it's chopped, cleaned, and ready to go. It's like having Rachel Ray in your freezer, for goodness gracious sake.
Yeah.
There's no prep involved here.
Mm-hmm.
And if the nutrients are the same and the prep time is less,
mm-hmm.
I say winner here.
Exactly, yeah. And often frozen products will be blanched, especially if they're vegetables,
yeah.
which just means, you know, quickly submerged in water. And that's to kind of delay any enzymatic reactions that will make the quality of the food go down. But also, again, thinking about cooking time, it makes it a little bit less on your end. I know.
Oh, no, you froze those little enzymes.
So great.
That's great. So they mm-hmm. have the longest shelf life.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny because yesterday I got something in my feed that from the frozen food organization saying that frozen food sides
mm-hmm.
are up. Like the whole frozen food category of foods up in the supermarket. Grocery consumers are buying it. But sides, and that's
mm-hmm.
like, you know, like vegetable sides, like
mm-hmm.
cauliflower crumbles, you know, so you don't have to do that to yourself, or you get, you know, certain spiral type of vegetables.
Right.
So I think this makes it healthy, affordable. And then if you have a coupon to go with it, if it's on sale, it could be really a very easy and inexpensive way to get some healthy food
sure.
going into you. And I love canned. I mean, I love canned beans. You're not going to get anything cheaper than that. And, you know, making a meal out of canned beans, what could a student do to
definitely. Yeah, so canned beans are great. You can buy them, you know, when they're on sale and store them for pretty much indefinitely. And they're going to be a really great source of protein for your meal.
Mm-hmm.
They're very versatile. You can do tons of dishes if you wanted to make like a mock chipotle bowl or something like
mm-hmm.
that. Beans are a great addition. You know, you can do things like tacos or pasta with beans in the sauce. And it's going to be pretty much a lower cost than any other protein source you're going to buy in the store.
Right. When you look at beans, it's like, what, like a dollar a can?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, you know, and you meatless Monday. It doesn't have to be Monday. It can meatless Tuesday. I don't care what it is. But you could throw that, like you said, the tacos. Mm-hmm. You throw that with some frozen vegetables, get the whole wheat tacos, some salsa, and man, you're ready to roll
there.
Here.
You go.
And
yeah.
It's really, really fast and very little cleanup and very good to do that.
Yeah.
You know, the what you said, that it was stable, you know, self-stable. And there is a lot of problems with this date. I call it the dating game.
Yep.
With this date on product labels. You know, there actually, I was looking into this, there are 10 different dates. It could be used by, sell by.
Packed on.
Packed on.
Right.
Right. Best used by. Mm-hmm. Call your mother to find which is best to use. I don't know.
Always
what
a great option.
Always. Yeah. You can never. Your mother's always right.
Yep.
But it's crazy. Always. So can you explain this to us? What do those dates really mean?
Sure. So it can be confusing. Usually those dates are kind of telling you when the quality of the product is going to be prime or peak until. It's not necessarily a safety date. So per the USDA, they say that the best if used by or best if used before indicates when a product will be that best flavor or quality. And
okay, so again, that's quality.
Mm-hmm, okay. Not safety.
So that's not food safety.
Right.
So all right, so you got the beans, right? Mm-hmm. The can of beans, and we're like a month past the expiration there with this dating game thing. So you're saying safe to eat, but maybe a month, maybe probably no difference in taste, I would think, in a month.
Right, yeah. So you just want to kind of be careful if you see any dents on the can, any rusting, you know, obviously if the can is leaking at all, you want to get rid of that just to be safe in terms of bacteria. But as far as the date goes, if the can is intact and, you know, the food product inside looks okay, they're often good for, you know, months after the expiration date.
Right. Tell me about yogurt, because this one is, this happens so many times. How many times we do this? We have yogurt packed in the back of our refrigerator, and we pull it out, and it's past the sell-by date.
Right.
And the sell-by date is what? Explain that to us.
Yeah, so the sell-by date is the way for the store to tell you, or to tell, rather, their employees how long to display the product.
Oh, okay.
So how long they can sell the product for inventory management. Again, it's not a safety date. It's how long the store will be able to sell that product.
And sell it, and so that when you consume it, it's at top quality. It's at the best quality it was made to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the question is, how long after that you get into your refrigerator? And, you know, that's a hard thing because every food is different.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So dairy may have like a week or eggs. So I stumbled upon this website.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Still Tasty. Have you heard about this?
I have, yeah. So Still Tasty is a website created by a mother and daughter team. And they pull all of this kind of safety information from, you know, the USDA, the FDA, and the CDC, who are the three governing bodies who release, you know, safety information on food. And they compiled it into kind of a nice user-friendly database where you can search yogurt, for example, or eggs, or, you know, shelf-stable cereal, and see how long that will be good for after the sell-by date. Important to check the actual, you know, USDA, CDC, if you're not sure, just to be extra safe, because that's not a governing body, but it is a really helpful search tool.
I looked at this, and I was saying, this is really helpful. So before you toss it,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can quickly go on Still Tasty, and we're going to put these apps on the Spot On Facebook page, so everybody can look at this, put it up on your phone, and say, okay, do I need to throw this yogurt out? And it'll tell you, you know, it's good after blank amount of times, so you're not wasting food and throwing that good money out, and I think that's absolutely fabulous. Food waste, we started talking about this at the beginning. This is a big problem in the United States, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so what's happening with food waste?
Sure, yeah. So about 30 to 40% of the food that we purchase as consumers is wasted.
Like what do you mean by wasted?
Wasted, just not consumed. You know, it's left in the fridge too long, goes bad. Basically, it's thrown out. This is a little bit of a dated statistic, but in 2010, that was 133 billion pounds and $161 billion that we just threw into the trash.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, we're throwing out that carton of yogurt and it's going to the landfill.
Yeah.
And the animals are having a buffet out there.
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And it's all because we're looking at that sell-by date, and we're thinking, oh, gosh, you know, we don't want it's gone bad, and we're tossing it, and we don't really have to toss it.
Right.
Right. You know, and that's another good thing you're saying about make a list, because let's not buy a whole bunch of too much yogurt. Like, if you know you're going to be traveling next week, or, you know, you're going to go visit somebody over the weekend, let's not be buying a lot and stacking it up.
Definitely, yeah. Kind of buying with, you know, a week or two in mind, depending on the product that you're purchasing, is a good benchmark, because you're more apt to use the product before it goes bad.
Right.
If you're
right.
only shopping for right. a short term.
And, you know, that's all about planning. Say, mm-hmm. okay, you know, there are 35,000 foods in a typical supermarket, and you know, Americans eat the same 50 foods over and over again. I mean, you eat the same yogurt, you eat the same cereal.
Right.
So it's not like, oh my goodness gracious, so it's really easy to plan your week out. And by one way to save money, and I've done this myself, I stopped buying those individual yogurts, and I started buying the yogurts in the quart mm-hmm. and just packing it every day and bring it to work. And the savings could be astronomical.
Definitely. So a little bit of, you know, planning up front and a little bit of prep work can really save you money and time, and also reduce your food waste, which
right.
is
and also reduce the amount of great. Plastic that you're throwing into
exactly.
the landfill.
Yep.
Tell me about this whole movement about ugly produce.
Yeah.
What is this ugly produce? Tell yeah. us.
So ugly produce is a movement to kind of change the way that we think about the way that our food should look. So taking foods that don't necessarily fit the mold of what we would think of for, you know, a banana to look like, or an apple, or just kind of any blemishes, misshapen, a little bit too large, too small, and kind of teaching people that it's okay to eat these foods. They're going to be nutritionally adequate. They're going to be similar. And just allowing people, making it okay to buy these products in the store at a discounted price.
I love discounted price. You mm-hmm. just you had me at discount. You know, it's interesting because we're used to the perfect apple, the perfect banana,
right.
the perfect carrot. So what's happening is that the farmer can't sell these, or he thinks he can't mm-hmm. sell these, or she can't sell these, and the store is afraid to take them. So now there is this movement to, you know, get out to the public that even though the apple is not perfectly round, it's still crisp and fabulous, so has the fiber and sweet,
right.
to promote this. And are you seeing in the stores any of this ugly produce?
Yeah.
First of all, we got to stop calling it that.
I know.
That's a problem. Let's change the name of that.
It might not be Instagrammable, but it's still good.
That's right. What if you set it up in a cute
exactly.
display? It could be adorable.
Yep.
So are you seeing any of this in supermarkets?
Yeah. So oftentimes, usually it's kind of in the back of the produce section, but there might be a cart or a display where they have this produce that doesn't kind of fit the traditional way that we would think that it should look. And it's often discounted price-wise. And
right.
It's, you know, a small display, but it's there. So kind of
right.
voting with your dollars and letting the grocer know that you're interested in purchasing that food.
Well, an excellent tagline, voting with your dollars. That's exactly correct, because the more you buy, the more they're going to give you.
Right.
They're just there to sell what you're going to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say to them, gee, this is great, and the discount is fabulous, I'll buy this, and you can do it. And I think now there's even, like, apps or something, or you can get, you know, produce.
Yeah, so there's, depending on where you live in the U.S., there are different kind of brokers who will sell boxes of this ugly produce, or this kind of misshapen or bruised or whatever it is. There's companies like Bruised, Imperfect Produce, Misfits Market, and Hungry Harvest, and they'll ship a weekly box of ugly produce for between like $15 to $25.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big box?
Yeah, a decent size. You can kind of choose if you're shopping for 1 to 2, 3 to 4, you know, small, medium, large box, and the price obviously changes based on that. And you can kind of weigh the cost and decide, you know, how much of this produce do I think I'll actually use?
Right,
and,
right.
You know, it's an effort to reduce food waste, encourage sustainability, and also it makes it a little bit easier on you if the produce comes right to your front
right.
door.
Boy, if it's a fairly good box, $15
mm-hmm.
is really, really good.
Yeah.
So we have to get the word out. Again, we'll put all these apps on the Spot On Facebook page. But maybe we have to start here with, you talk about Instagrammable, okay? So maybe we should you know, go with the hashtag, you know, stop body shaming movement, which I love. And that took on, and that really has, you know, got a lot of momentum. Maybe we should do stop produce shaming?
Yeah.
Don't
shame your fruit.
Don't shame your fruit. Okay, hashtag stop produce shaming. Yes. Let's stop it right now and get that movement going together. That is absolutely great. You know, I love to shop, and I often, we'll go into the produce aisle, and it may not be an ugly, it may be like a perfect apple or whatever, but it's got like a yellow tag on it. It's mm-hmm. marked down clearance. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because initially you say, oh, it's got that yellow marked down clearance. I'm not buying it. Yet, if you were in a department store and you saw the yellow clearance right. on, you know, a piece of clothing you wanted, you'd be like, you know, give me that, mm-hmm. you know. And so it's funny. So we have to train ourselves. Just because it's on clearance mm-hmm. doesn't mean that it doesn't taste good or it's not healthy. But boy, it could save a heck of a lot of money.
Definitely. And even next time if you go to the grocery store and you see one of these products with the clearance tag, you know, just give it a try. Buy one, see how it goes. If you hate it, then you never have to do it again. But chances are right. you'll be like, okay, you know, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah, I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it all the time. You know, I like, you know, fresh tomatoes make a wonderful tomato salad, and markdown tomatoes make a great tomato salsa.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect looking, and still you can do that. So think, you know, you always want to buy on sale at your clothing stores or where you get jewelry or whatever. Think about that you could save a heck of a lot of money.
Definitely.
By doing that in when you go food shopping and such. You know, there are other ways to shop, and now people are shopping online. Mm-hmm. And tell me about Is Amazon a good place to like to get people to get like, well, they're starting to do produce now, but they're like staple stuff, like yeah. cereal, if you have cereal at the house. Is that a bargain?
It depends. So there are a few different kind of meal delivery or grocery delivery services, you know, such as Amazon or Peapod for right. Stop and Shop, things like that. I guess it depends if, A, you have a subscription to the service to begin with, if you're going to be kind of tacking on an additional cost,
right.
maybe kind of weighing the cost benefit of that. But thinking about if you normally are to eat out for every meal because you don't have time to grocery shop, and a meal delivery service would cut down the costs of
right.
you eating out because you would then have food in your house, definitely can be helpful, a right. helpful tool. You know, do a little bit of research, maybe keep your receipts for a week and see how much you spend, and then kind of compare that to how much you would spend if you were to use a delivery
sure.
service for groceries.
And yeah. you know, I remember that always in September, whenever it starts of the school year, everybody comes out and they're giving you
yes.
Target is giving you discount things. And I saw that Amazon has for a student membership,
mm-hmm.
it has like the first 6 months of free.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the whole first year of college.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know, it is. So that may be a good way to get started and test it out, as you said, without spending money.
Definitely.
And I think the membership is like half off or something.
Yeah, something
so,
like that.
So have your grandmother give it to you
right.
for your birthday.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, keep an eye out for promotions, especially geared towards students or, you know, just first time is free or anything like that. And hopefully I don't get in trouble for saying this, but I don't think any memberships are binding, so you can always give it a try, you know.
Good
see
for
how
you.
See how it goes.
Good
and
for you.
If you like it, you can keep the service.
Good. I'm sure that you can cancel it at any time,
right.
so that's really, really good. Okay, so we talked about some meals to throw together. You said beans
mm-hmm.
that are, of course, effective as such, and buying things in bulk.
Yes.
So that's good to save on the meal purchases
sure.
and meal prep that can be thrown together and have that. What about healthy eats on the cheap, and you don't want to cook, you want to get healthy takeout, or so is there some tricks to the trade here?
Definitely, yeah. So again, kind of keeping an eye out for any promotions for students, anything like that. There are some apps and websites that you can use to kind of help you find these types of deals. So things like Groupon or Living Social, they're pretty similar. You can search your favorite restaurant or just local deals on restaurants, and they can give you menu vouchers for single meals or like a prefix menu if you want something a little more fancy. And if you buy a Groupon, I know that if you don't get to use the deal by the time it expires, you can use that money towards another purchase. So it's kind of like,
right.
you know, you're not bound.
And you can put you can put in Groupon, because I'm a big Groupon person,
mm-hmm.
Your zip code, and it brings up all like the restaurants and
yeah.
things in your area, so no matter where on campus or where you're going
Definitely.
To school. I heard about this other app, and this other app called Food for All, and this unfortunately is in only in New York and Boston. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this?
I haven't.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you. See, now I'm going to tell you something, so I'm so excited. This is so interesting. So this Food for All is an app. And again, right now it's just in New York and Boston, but it's going to expand. What this guy did said, you know, I want to stop the food waste. And at restaurants, I can't stand that there's so much food waste because, you know, the chef will plan meals for the evening and then it'll rain and then only half the people show up and they got all this food. So what he has done is put all these restaurants together and sort of at a certain time of day, like 8 o'clock at night or something, you can go in and figure out who in your area restaurants are discounting the meals because they don't want to throw it away.
That's so cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is like, wow, you talk about healthy eats on the cheap. Is you're just downloading. And even if, you know, I'm not saying go and eat another meal at 8 o'clock, bring it home and refrigerate it.
Sure.
And then you have it for the next day. But it's a really, really great way to get good meals. Of course, you have to make sure they're healthy. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, the foods that you're choosing. And go home and store them. And you're going to reduce waste. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to cook the next day. For lunch
That's
or
really
for dinner.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
It saves a heck of a lot of money. You had said something to me once about shopping the refrigerator before you go food shopping. That
yes.
was a fun line that you once said to me.
Yeah.
And oftentimes things are in the in your refrigerator. You know, I call the vegetable bin in the refrigerator the produce graveyard because you put it in and it never comes out.
Yep.
You put the broccoli in and it, you know, it's gorgeous. It comes out combat green. You know,
right,
so it's
right.
like, oh my God. So that's again with the food waste and so the broccoli's a little wilted. But you can still use that, right?
Definitely, yeah. So we had kind of talked about this, like you said before. Cooking down your freezer is a great way to save money on your grocery bill for the week because if you're like me, you know, behind your Ben and Jerry's and your ice, you know, machine, you have probably a whole meal waiting for you. So you can kind of take a look in there first and see what you have in your pantry, see what you have in your freezer, and kind of plan your meals for the week around those items that you already have. And then your grocery bill will be lower that week because you don't have to buy as much.
Right. So do you when you say that there could be a meal in there, do you cook once and eat twice, you know, and freeze meal? Or how does the meal get in there? Because it's not mine.
Right. I mean, thinking about you might have the ingredients separate that you could put together for a meal. Or if you batch cook and you cook once, eat twice, that's another great way to kind of plan ahead and make sure you have some nutritious meals ready. And also, you know, lower the chance that you'll have to buy something when you're out and about.
Right. Or, you know, doggy bag it at the restaurant.
Sure.
And then you freeze half of it. And then one night you don't have to cook it or use that app we talked about if you're in New York or Boston, where bring the home, put it in the freezer. And this way you'll have it for another meal.
There you go.
There was... again, you know, I'm crazy about food waste. And I fell upon this website called Save the Food.
Yes.
Do you know anything about this?
I love Save the Food.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so great.
I love it, too. Tell us about Save the Food.
Yeah, so Save the Food's a national public service campaign. So the Ad Council and the National Resource Defense Council came together and teamed up to kind of address that really pressing issue of food waste. Mm-hmm. It's a website, and it has, super user-friendly kind of tabs and just tons of information about how to reduce your food waste, your family's food waste, how to plan meals, and even, like, how to repurpose ingredients that are about to go bad or aren't as attractive, such as like a brown avocado or a spotty banana, right. And recipes that you can use those in.
Like when you say repurpose, so what does it tell you? What kind of things does it give?
Yeah, so I think there was like an avocado chocolate mousse, so you would be able to kind of get rid of the gross brown color and still be able to enjoy the nutrition benefits of that avocado.
So did it give you the recipe?
Yeah, there's tons of recipes. There's, I think it's like almost sour milk pancakes or something like that. So depending how brave you are, that could be really tasty.
Oh my goodness.
And there's even a calculator on the website, and you can estimate how much food you'll need to buy for a dinner party so you're not buying too much and contributing
to getting your friends
waste.
Over.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So those recipes, so I can take that wilted combat green broccoli.
Sure.
And they'll give me a recipe for it.
Yeah.
And I can do something with it.
Yeah.
As edible.
It's called like the Past Prime tab, I think.
Oh, that's
on the
cute.
Website.
That
really
is really,
cute.
Really cute.
Yeah.
That's great.
So just a great way to kind of educate yourself on food waste and hopefully, you know, lessen future environmental impacts as well as food insecurity
sure.
for others. $5.
Sure, yeah, sure, absolutely. And, you know, that's a waste of your money. If you're going to buy it and not use it or throw it away when it's still good to eat or it's a little bit wilted, you're wasting your money.
Right.
And we don't want to do that.
Right.
So cheap eats, healthy foods on the cheap eats as we want. So I want to thank you. I am going to now download the app for sure.
Yes.
And I'm going to make sure that I have my grocery list. I'm not going food shopping when I'm hungry. That I know. And again, you know, don't just shop the periphery of the supermarket. Let's go the inside because that's where the frozen foods, the canned foods, canned beans, vegetables are there, which could be much, much cheaper.
Definitely.
Yeah. And plan ahead. And use your freezer for something other than ice cubes, right?
Right. 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 Right.
Thank you, Claire Murphy, for coming and sharing your wisdom with us. And we can eat quite nicely, quite inexpensively, healthy eating on the cheap. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Spot On. I am your host, Dr. Joan Salgi Blake. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Joan Salgi Blake. Please subscribe to Spot On through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you find your podcasts. Also, visit our Facebook page to join the conversation and tell us what you'd like to hear in future episodes. And oh, by the way, could you ask 5 of your friends or family members to download Spot On and subscribe to it? Do I ask a lot from you?